Good morning, friends. Welcome to the 146th Annual Convention of the Missouri Press Association. My name is Phil Conger, publisher of the Bethany Republican Clipper and president this year of the Missouri Press Association. We thank the candidates for governor who have joined us for this morning's candidates forum. These forums for statewide candidates have been a tradition of the Press Association Annual Convention since 1988. And so to get us started, it's my pleasure to introduce this morning's moderator, David Lieb of the Associated Press in Jefferson City. David?
Thank you, Phil, and welcome again to the Missouri Press Association debates. Let me introduce to you the candidates that we have here today for the governor's debate. On my left, Democratic Governor Jay Nixon. In the center, Republican candidate Dave Spence. And on the end, Libertarian candidate Jim Higgins. Let me also introduce to you our panel of journalists who will be asking questions today. We have Hillary Niles, a journalism student at the University of Missouri, Bill Miller of the Washington Missourian, and Jeff Fox of the Independence Examiner. Now let me go over briefly a few rules of our debate. The candidates drew numbers in advance to determine their speaking order. They will each have 2 minutes for an opening statement. Candidates will have 90 seconds to answer each question, with a 45-second rebuttal period at the option of the moderator. I will ask the first question, then our panelists will take turns. At the end of the debate, candidates will have 2 minutes for a closing statement. Candidates, our timekeepers, are seated right here. They have cards to show you when there is 30 seconds, 15 seconds, and when it's time to stop. For members of the audience, we ask that you please silence your phones, remain seated, and hold your applause to the end. Okay? Let's get started. Governor Nixon, go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here, and it's good to see so many friends we've worked with for so many years. When I think back as to the reasons I ran for governor and the things that I've done over the last almost 4 years now, a lot of that focuses back to growing up in a small town in DeSoto, Missouri. I had an opportunity there to see my mother and father actively involved in public service. My mom on the school board, my dad is mayor. And in the evenings when the phone would ring, somebody would call in with a problem, I'd often be the one that would head back to the kitchen table and plead the case of that person. What I saw from my mom and dad was focus on making sure that they help solve those problems in a positive way. They didn't ask whether the question came from a Democrat or Republican. They didn't ask whether the question came from somebody who had supported them or not. They said, what can we do to move our city, our area forward? And that's what I've done as your governor. I focused on what matters, bringing people together to make sure we keep fiscal discipline, keep that AAA credit rating, cut the budget when necessary, downsize government in difficult times to make sure that we had that fiscal discipline that makes us such a great place to invest. At the same time, focus on making sure we have human capital, that even though we've had to cut the budget $1.8 billion, up in our dollars for customized training so workers had the training for the future, making sure we've kept college costs down with the lowest tuition increase of any state in the country, and expanding our A-plus program, which provides that two-year scholarship for students tuition-free at our community colleges. All of that is beginning to pay off. Obviously, since September of 2009, when my first jobs bill went into effect, our unemployment rate has been below the national average. This week's reports on jobs show that we added 17,900 jobs, and this morning's BLS data show that was the third most of any state in the country. We're going to keep people working together, maintain our fiscal discipline, work across the aisle, and keep this state moving forward.
Thank you, Governor. Dave Spence.
I'm a proud seventh-generation Missourian. I'm not a politician, and that's my best asset. I'm running for governor for our kids' and grandkids' future. You know, as many of you know, I started a business here in Missouri in 1985. I got turned to by 12 banks, and I was able to pursue my American dream. Through hard work, sacrifice, passing up paychecks, we grew from 15 employees to this year 860. And they're just not employees or statistics, they are families. I know that. We've been there through thick and thin with them. When people got sick, lost their house in a fire, when they needed to help with their kids' education, we were there. And that's what family and friends do. I've been living in the real world. And as I've gone throughout 114 counties, they're starving for honesty, someone they can believe in, and real-world practical knowledge. We realize since 2008 has been tough, but we also have to be realistic about where we are. We're 48th out of 50th in economic growth the last 10 years. We are 50th in the job in the states in job creation since 2008. And close to 1 million Missourians are on food stamps out of 6 million. Is this truly the best we can do? Is this truly our legacy that we will leave for our grandkids and kids? I had two relatives. One signed the Declaration of Independence, Edward Rutledge, and one signed the Constitution, John Rutledge, both from South Carolina. My middle name is Rutledge. It is a dishonor to our ancestors to find out where we are in Missouri right now. We deserve better leadership, and I plan to give it.
Thank you. Jim Higgins.
Thank you. The Libertarian Party has, we turned 40 years old last year. And I have been a Libertarian for almost that amount of time. I first discovered Libertarian ideas in the early 70s, and I've been active in the party on and off ever since then. And in Missouri, we got, I worked on a petition drive to get the ballot access for the Missouri Party in 92, and we've had ballot access ever since then. We've made progress, steady progress, slow, steady progress, not as much as we had hoped, but people are starting to listen to our ideas. We have a platform of, we are 100% across the board freedom for the individual. We believe in civil liberties, that the government should not try to control personal behavior. We're strong believers in the free market, that the balance between supply and demand and price is the best way to allocate the most resources to the most people. It's a hard and fast rule, and politicians constantly try to improve on that, and they fail every time. We're against regulation. We're against the lower taxes and lower regulations, which also includes no tax subsidies or tax credits for business. That amounts to welfare for the rich, and that doesn't work either. So government has grown. For the last 30 or 40 years, and if it was a solution, we would have solved all our problems by now. The time has come to give the Libertarian Party a chance.
Thank you, Jim. It's now time for our questions. We heard some statements about the economy already in opening remarks, so let's start with that. As Governor Nixon noted, jobs increased 18,000 nearly from July to August, but yet the number of people in the civilian labor force, those working or unemployed but actively looking for work, fell by 11,000 during that same period. So let's start off with this question. Do you believe Missouri's economy is improving or lagging behind? And what three specific things would you do to create more jobs in Missouri? Governor Nixon, you're first.
Thank you, David. Clearly, we're seeing that solid progress that's necessary to move forward. Once that first jobs bill got into effect in September of 2009, we've had our unemployment rate below the national average. And today's numbers showing not only this last month Missouri gaining 17,900 jobs, but also that being the third most new jobs of any state in the country in the last month, shows we're beginning to make progress. It's built on a solid, solid rock of fiscal discipline, holding the line on taxes, focusing our attention on industries where we can make a difference. For example, that's why I called the legislature back into special session, because I knew we had an opportunity with the auto industry. And that's why we're very proud that Ford has made a $1.1 billion investment on the Kansas City side to bring a vehicle back to Missouri that's only being made in Europe now. And on the eastern side of the state, that GM has made a $380 million investment and is going to add another 1,600 jobs to build a Chevy Colorado there. I think as we move forward, making sure that we keep the cost of higher education low, that we expand the number of folks going to school, that we target our resources on things like the auto sector where we can clearly get growth, and we build on the solid progress we've made on exports. We've had record years in exports, 32, 17, and up again, record years of exports. Selling Missouri products around the world is another way that we're going to continue to see progress in this economy.
Thank you, Dave Spence.
Well, it's an election year, and I think you can make jobs numbers say whatever you want them to say and what lens you're looking through. Also this past week, we passed over the 100,000 mark of people out of the payroll. People have just given up looking for work. You know, of the jobs that were created in August, 9,500 of them were government jobs. I don't think that's the direction we ought to go. We need private sector jobs. I'm not going to take anything away from efforts to get Missourians back to work. That's my main focus as well. The things we need to do are bold. They're bold initiatives, and it's not playing defense. We need to go on offense. We need to enact right to work. We need true workman's comp reform, not the brokered one our governor did. True tort reform that doesn't get overridden. And we need to get pay to play out of our government.
Jim Higgins.
Yes. Yeah, I think, I don't know if we're compared to other states. I think we're doing about average. It depends. It has a lot to do with the national economy as a whole. So I'm not going to say we're ahead or lagging behind. But the things we can do in Missouri is to just simply get out of the way and get government out of the way. And government jobs, I agree with Dave, they're not the answer. All they do is drain money from public money from the state coffers. And when you have government employees, you really don't know. You don't know if what to pay them, what their value is, or how to employ them, or how many to employ. So the free market decides that. Supply and demand again. That tells you what to pay employees and where to hire, who to hire, and where to hire. And so, the less you can get government to step aside, the better.
Let's turn to our panel of questioners now. Hillary, you're first, and this question will go first to Dave Spence.
Regarding the cost of higher education, funding for higher education has been cut several years in a row now in Missouri. Do you support the tobacco tax increase on the November ballot? And do you think the state's colleges and universities need more money?
I don't support the tax increase, excuse me, and I'll tell you why. I've traveled all 114 counties, and I see families with despair in their eyes, worried about $3.75 a gallon gas, putting food on their tables, worried about tomorrow, worried about if their job's going to be there, worried if they could even give a better life to their kids. So no, I don't support any tax increases at this point. On higher education, we've cut it 3 years in a row. To me, that's the equivalent of cutting the sales force when sales are down. I would fight for the reinstalling the higher education cuts that our governor has done 3 years in a row. I know we had to increase tuitions this year because of those, and it puts more on the backs of hardworking Missouri families. They're struggling already. I think it's a matter of priorities. It's a matter of looking at tax credits. Lift up every rock in this state and see how we do things. We take in $24 billion, and we can't fund our higher education. There is something wrong.
Jim Higgins.
Okay. Yeah, education, are the tax increases? No, I don't think so. That's considered, tax on tobacco is considered a sin tax. And we shouldn't try to influence behavior, with our tax policies. Our tax policies are to generate revenue. It shouldn't try to influence what people buy and what they don't. So, the tax sale, a tax on tobacco should be the same as any other tax. And the schools, Yeah, the more we, it seems like the more we subsidize the schools, the higher the tuition goes up. I mean, they don't pass on, if we subsidize schools too much, they don't pass that tuition savings on to the students. They just increase their bottom line. So they need to, the higher education needs to come up with innovative ways and creative ways to cut costs and deliver a quality education, but they shouldn't have to rely on the state to do that.
Jay Nixon.
Thank you. I don't think a tax increase is the appropriate way to fund our higher education. That being said, the public deserves a vote on it. On matters such as this, it's important for the public to have that vote and to have their voice heard directly at the ballot box, and we will await their decision in November. As far as higher education, we have done some very strong things. We have held our tuition increases to the lowest in the nation. We've expanded dramatically our A-plus program. More than 150 schools have been added to that two-year scholarship program. 65,000 more students now can compete for those two-year tuition-free scholarships. We funded our Access and Bright Flight, so it's the smart kids that have an opportunity to stay here in the Show Me State. We're out there recruiting to get them. And we have worked hard to get strategic funding into our higher education. Just yesterday, I announced an additional $1 million of nursing dollars that's going to go to expand nursing facilities, and noted what we've done the last 3 years in our Caring for Missourians initiative, where we invested $40 million to get over 1,200 more medical degrees for jobs that exist right now. So strategic investments in higher education like that, like our innovation campus, which is going to shorten the time that kids take to get out of college, our training for tomorrow, our MoHealth wins, focusing the dollars we have and getting funding in those schools that can get a direct output is really important.
Let's go to our next question from Bill Miller, and this question will go first to Jim Higgins.
Good morning, gentlemen. Do you think newspapers in Missouri are fair in reporting your campaign activities and your positions on issues, your record, and have you asked for and believe in newspaper editorial endorsements?
They don't cover us enough. we're out there. We're trying to run campaigns, and we're working hard. We don't have the money that these guys do, these major parties do, but we have solid platform. We have good ideas. We've thought them through, and we have something to offer. And I it's getting a little better. They're giving us coverage a little more this year. In Missouri and around the country, but it needs to be, in my opinion, it needs to be better. I think I don't know. I personally haven't asked for editorials or anything like that. No, not yet.
Jay Nixon.
I look forward to continuing to work with many fine newspapers and other press outlets in the state, not only to cover the news, but also to seek their counsel and advice and support. I do think that we're blessed to have a state which has a rich diversity in so many ways. This is a very, very diverse state, the regions, the political positions and whatnot. And that's why when I ran for governor, I said that we were going to continue to work throughout the state, that we were going to go all across the state, deal directly with folks out in their communities, and we have. I think that the strong independent press, especially the diversity among it in many small communities, people still listen clearly to those voices of those newspapers, radio outlets, and others. And I look forward, just as I have as governor, to continuing to interact on a regular basis with folks and also to ask them for their assistance when we need to get out key information. The newspapers have been very, very helpful to us on two programs. We work together on the Show Me Heroes program to make sure we get more employers signed up so that we can get more veterans hired. Our State Park Youth Corps, which has put kids in parks in the summer to make sure those parks are improved. To get the folks signed up for those and to get the businesses involved has been required the help of newspapers and others across the state. And I thank you for your help in that regard, and I look forward to working with you for years to come.
Dave Spence.
Yeah.
We need to move on here. Dave Spence.
Has the press been fair? Yeah, it's...
Okay. Governor,
sure. Yeah.
our time is up, and we need to move to the next answer here. Dave Spence.
Well, I won't give a political answer because I'm not a politician. I think it's spotty, to tell you the truth. I think small-town newspapers have been pretty fair. Everybody I've walked in is welcome with us open arms because their communities are looking for a difference. Their communities have all lost a factory. Their town squares are half boarded up, and they rely on the economy in those towns to pay for ads and pay for the newspaper. And small towns in Missouri are hurting. I've seen them all, and they're hurting. There's talk about a factory that used to be there. People have had to move away. The two large metropolitan papers, that's where I'm spotty. You know what? They'd rather concentrate on what I've done wrong than what I've done right. And I've done a lot of right things. We've been generous as a family. I'm giving of myself to lead for this state. I've told the truth. And sometimes they don't print it. So the jury's still out on the major metropolitan newspapers, but I would say rurally, they've been very fair. And we are blessed with great newspapers in this state. And we want a lot of entrepreneurially owned newspapers that have to deal with workman's comp and some of the issues that are going on in our state. They have to deal with one of the easiest states in the nation to be sued. So I've been very pleasantly surprised and thrilled with the coverage rurally. Major newspapers, there's probably a reason they're getting smaller.
All right, our next question comes from Jeff Fox, and it goes first to Governor Nixon.
Good morning. Should the state expand Medicaid as envisioned under the Federal Affordable Care Act, and if not, does the state have any obligation to help that particular population get health coverage?
First of all, Bill, I do think the papers have been fair, and we appreciate the relationships that we have out there and at times in which we have a need to discuss that. They've been very open to discussing that. As far as the potential expansions, federal government passed a measure that I had some serious problems that I laid out problems with at various times. That being said, the Supreme Court has now upheld it, and our goal now is to make sure that we get the best fit for Missouri. Our goals are pretty clear. We want to make sure that we're using taxpayer dollars well. I want to continue to engage the legislature to make these challenging decisions, but we also want to improve health care in our state. There's going to be challenges and opportunities in this regard, and I look forward to working in a bipartisan way, the way we have with other measures that the federal government has pushed down on us to try to get a best fit for our state so that we can have whatever moves forward have the most effect to use taxpayer dollars effectively, to expand health care options, to protect our health care network that's out there, and to make Missouri healthier. So I think there are, clear challenges and opportunities in this regard. I think it's going to require a great deal of attention. And I, as I have in the past, I'll continue to work with policymakers from external to the Capitol, as well as Democrats and Republicans in the Capitol, to find the best fit for the show-me state.
Dave Spence.
We all want to do the right thing. We're all empathetic. We don't want to see any of our neighbors and fellow citizens slip through the cracks. And we know we need a safety net. But as I go around the state, I also hear of rampant fraud in Medicaid, and I hear of other abuses. And if I could be assured that we were running it as well as we possibly could and there weren't abuses, I'm very open to helping our fellow citizens. But we are perilously close to not meeting the basic needs of our state as is. We are $16 trillion in debt as a nation. We are $200 million into our rainy day fund already, and our budget started July 1st. That shows we have cash flow problems in this state. I'll work with the legislature. We can't be everything to everybody. We've got to give a safety net. But the best thing we can do to bring down health care costs in this state is go from the sue-me state to the show-me state again. And that's where we are. We're one of the easiest states in the nation to get sued. And you don't think that has a factor on health care costs in this state? You're not hearing the truth. Our governor, career politician, has taken in over $2.4 million from plaintiff's attorneys. They are dictating policy on health care in this state. It's not right. It is not right. We know we need to protect our citizens and give them a safety net. We've got to work together, use our dollars judiciously, because we are perilously close to not meeting the basic needs of our state that our citizens expect.
Jim Higgins.
No, we should not expand Medicaid, and we should resist any federal mandates as much as we can. As Dave said, there's abuse in the system, both on the medical side, where doctors overcharge, and people and then citizens take advantage of the system, and oftentimes the bureaucrats know about it. I mean, they know what's going on, but they don't do anything because the system. Number one, it's not their money; they don't care. And number two, if they do complain or something, nothing gets done about it. So the system just kind of perpetuates itself. You know, we should try, whenever you try to, again, whenever you try to subsidize something, it doesn't reduce the cost. One story somebody told me, he went into a doctor, this was a long time ago, went into the doctor and said, the bill will be $50. And then, so the guy said, this is a true story, and the guy said, well, my company will pay half of it. And they said, oh, okay, in that case, the bill is $100. So, he told me that, and the truth, so that's the way it is.
Governor Nixon, we're going to give you an opportunity for a 45-second rebuttal here if you'd like. Dave Spence alleged that you had received $2.4 million from the trial attorneys, I guess is the way you phrase that, who were dictating your health care policy, and also alleged that the Medicaid program under your administration is poorly run. Would you like to respond to that?
Well, we've worked hard in the Medicaid area just this last year, taking over $170 million out of provider rates, working with the Attorney General's office to get in there and work hard on making sure that we have a cohesive team fighting fraud when it's appropriate and gone after making sure that we're making progress in those areas. People know how independent I am, and people know that we'll focus on the right things. I'll continue to move forward. We will continue to work in a bipartisan way with the legislature with the dollars we have to make the most efficient and effective healthcare system we can and the external forces that assist us out there. But people know how independent I am. I've been at this for a while, I feel very strong that we'll continue to move this state forward.
Dave Spence, you have 45 seconds if you would like as well there.
Well, I think the facts speak for themselves. I've been on this campaign for close to 11 months. I've watched the campaign contributions, and it'll flat out make you sick. Labor unions, $2.3 million. Personal injury attorneys, $2.4 million. You want to know who's dictating policy and suffocating our state? There you have it. There's a reason we're 50th in jobs and 48th in economic development. Jay Nixon is not living in the same world that you and I are in. We're out in the real world, aren't we? We see the hurt. We see their despair. We see the people barely putting $5 of gas in their pot in their tank because that's all they have. People are waking up tomorrow hoping the news is no worse than today, and that is no way to live your life. It's okay for him. He's been on the payroll for 26 years. He's got a pension for the rest of his life that we're going to pay. I'm sorry. The real world is about results, and the results is where we find ourselves. In the real world, this CEO would be fired.
Right, let's move on to our next question then. This question comes from Hillary, and it goes first to Dave Spence.
Columbia and other communities are struggling to close the achievement gap among school children of different races. Statewide data also show clear racial disparities on many socioeconomic indicators, such as employment, education, homeownership, and business ownership. What do you make of that? And as governor, what would you do to address it?
Oh, there we go. I think it's all about jobs. We need more people getting a paycheck versus unemployment check. We need more taxpayers and not more people living off the government. You know, my wife and I have given so much back to the St. Louis City Schools at Roosevelt High School. For the past 6 years, we've been knee-deep in the problems in our city. And oh, by the way, we have 50,000 kids now with Normandy going the other day in unaccredited schools. 50,000. It would fill up Busch Stadium, standing room only. We need more people employed in this state. We need more opportunity. We need no more dreams to be fulfilled. And we are simply languishing at the bottom of the barrel in almost every economic category. You know, a lot of education is leadership, and it starts at the top. I think there's some really well-intentioned people. We're starting to show signs of progress in St. Louis. We've been in there. We've been in the trenches. For 6 years, we've been down there trying to find a solution to the problems. Kansas City, we could probably help get it going there from some of the ideas we have. There is a racial disparity in our state, and it all comes down to economic opportunity and jobs. And the best gift we can give somebody is a career.
Jim Higgins.
Okay, well, the one of the most inefficient things you can do with your education dollars is send it to Jefferson City and let the bureaucrats deal with it and then send it back. I mean, let the communities keep their own money and not have this, big trail of money going back and forth. We need to allow parents to have more decisions in their schools. We need more school vouchers and charter schools. And when the money comes back from the state, there's lots of strings attached and mandates. And so the school districts, every school district's a little different. They have different needs. So we need to allow more flexibility in the school, more innovation. Competition, innovation. It works for cars and computers. It'll work for education. So we can't mandate and have everybody jump through the same hoops in every community. We got to allow the free market to work and allow innovation and competition to work. Yes.
Jay Nixon.
Thank you. We're making progress in public education. It's one of the reasons early on in my tenure we supported increasing the Common Core standards so that we would have a challenging bar for our students to meet to compete in the education world that's going to deliver. And we support public education, both the teachers in the classroom as well as folks that take that high calling of serving in public as teachers. And that's why, even though other states have seen dramatic cuts to funding, this year we were able to have record funding for our classrooms at a time in which we've had to make very challenging decisions on our budget. So why also we've worked to expand our A-plus program, which is not only provides that two-year scholarship, it also is a school improvement program that now 150 more schools across the Show Me State have met that 3 years of rigorous requirements to rise to that level, and we've been out there working with them. So also, things like charters, we have worked to get more accountability in charter schools. This year, the measure we passed in a bipartisan way will get much more accountability so we don't see the failures financially of those charter schools which are propping up and moving forward in our state. But ultimately, you have to support public education. And ideas, radical ideas like vouchers, taking public money and sending that to prep schools for their dollars, for their education, just won't work. We have to take the limited resources we have and put those resources with the public schools. And as your governor, I have, and I'll continue to do that, and we will continue to see the solid improvement. It's why the test scores of our kids have gone up and why more kids are going to school.
Okay, the next question comes from Bill Miller and goes first to Jim Higgins.
If elected, what would you do about our transportation needs in Missouri? Would you work with the General Assembly on a plan for a tax increase to raise revenue for transportation? Would you help provide the leadership in pushing for a vote to raise needed revenue for transportation?
Well, we need to make better use of the tax dollars we've got. I guess there was a plan to expand on 70 and expand the interchanges and put in toll roads, turn that over to contractors and let them run it. I'm not sure that's the thing we should do first. We have to maintain the roads we've got and obviously maintain the bridges. Keep the gas tax the way it is now and make more efficient use of the money we've got. Maybe contract out more things and word to contracts different. If you give the contractors a bonus for finishing early or something. That seems to work. So things like that we would do.
Jay Nixon.
Thank you. We have a long history in this area in our state. We have a very large road system. And so as I came in, we looked at doing a couple of things, and we're now in the process of implementing as we move forward. The first of those was to expand some of our design and build capacity so we could have roads built efficiently and effectively under that design build model, and we're moving forward in that area and getting more dollars into the construction and getting more productivity out of it. The second thing we did is we knew we had to have a much more modern MoDOT. So we are in the process of downsizing that agency by over 1,000 employees, and which will ultimately lead to over $500 million, about $512 million that would have been going to overhead, now going to roads and bridges and repairing our roads. That kind of significant structural change had been fought for years, and we were able to push that forward, push that through, and it'll mean $500 million more to repair, improve, and build roads in the state of Missouri. But as we look forward, the method of funding roads, that gas tax, as cars get more mile per gallon and more miles are driven, there are fewer dollars that come in per mile driven. So we have looming in front of us some significant discussions. Any of those discussions will ultimately have to involve the public, and I look forward to working to be a leader to improve, maintain, and improve our transportation system in the upcoming years.
Dave Spence.
We have over 32,000 miles of roads in our state, eighth most in the country. We've got a challenge. I would say, as we speak today, there, you know, no matter what you say, somebody's going to say, what about this road? Our roads are in decent shape. Now, there'll be some that will dispute that, but our roads are in decent shape. Highway 36 to the north, just came on that last night. Great addition to northern Missouri. Great part of economic development. I-70, I-44, I-55, they're probably past their warranties, but we can't do it all. This year, the budget for highway department, as much as people are saying, oh, it's down to $600 million or $550 million, is over $2 billion. It's a lot of money. We've had some big projects like I-64, the Mississippi River Bridge. We've got now the Daniel Boone Bridge going from St. Louis County to St. Charles. We've got some other things on the horizon. You have to look at a 5, 10, 15-year horizon. Amendment 3 was good for our state. It brought us up to speed. But we can't rest on our laurels. I'd like to look from the inside out to see if $2 billion really is the right number, or it's a little more than that, before we talk about any tax increase or another Amendment 3 or anything. I think it's time we look and lift up every rock in this state, see how we do things, and see if we can do it better, more efficiently, or if we should be doing it at all. And that's the fresh eyes and fresh vision that I bring to this race.
Okay, the next question comes from Jeff Fox and goes first to Governor Jay Nixon.
Let's follow on transportation. High-speed rail is coming to the Midwest. Illinois is already building the spine of that system. Should Missouri be more aggressively pursuing its potential within that system?
First of all, Jeff, thanks for the question. We've worked hard to try to make sure that we keep a robust rail industry in the state. As most folks know, both St. Louis and Kansas City have been railheads and are significant rail centers for the sending and producing and transporting of huge amounts. So the rail economy is very important to us. In Missouri, we have a strong industrial rail process where we move a lot of goods across our state. We have worked to improve that system, to get rid of those bottlenecks, for example, over the Osage River, where we are now in the process of building a new bridge there so that we can get another lane so that we don't have those slowdowns. I think the first step is to make sure we don't get slowdowns. So when we look to more possibilities for passenger rail travel, that we have a system that can deliver on time, and so we're looking at that. We also have worked with Illinois, because I think that anybody that looks at the bigger picture of our country will see that getting the first step of that from that Chicago to St. Louis is important if we're going to be able to attract the resources for high-speed rail across our state. So that's why we have worked with the state of Illinois and others to get that initial project completed while at the same time working to improve our network here for on-time efforts. All of that is part of a long-term transportation focus that will continue to provide us a competitive economy.
Dave Spence.
I think it sounds great in concept, but who's going to pay for it? Okay? I mean, let's be real about it. We're $16 trillion in debt on a national basis. We're barely meeting our needs on a statewide basis. We're already into our emergency fund, our rainy day fund. I mean, I think it sounds great. Boy, doesn't it sound great. Sure does. But who's going to pay for it? I don't think the taxpayers want to pay one more dollar for it. Hey, Illinois has three governors in prison and a $15 billion deficit. If they want to pay for it, that's their problem. Missouri needs to be fiscally responsible, make the tough decisions. You know, should it be put in the mix of whether we redo 70 or do high-speed rail? Yeah, that's probably in the mix, but I don't think that's before us right now. I'd really want to see what the load factors would be. That's my world. I want to see supply and demand. Is the demand there? Then we'll supply it. If the demand's not there, we're not in a position to build it and they will come. We're just not there.
Jim Higgins.
Okay. Well, I'm not a transportation expert, and I don't think these guys are either. I graduated from school as a civil engineer, but I worked 5 years as a civil engineer, but I haven't lately. I work in computers. But why should a bureaucrat decide, you know, what mode of transportation is best, whether we have rail or highways? It got us in trouble in the beginning. We built all these highways. We overdid it on the highways. Now we have pollution and gas consumption because some bureaucrat decided that we needed highways. Well, now we're trying to find other things, mass transit and other things. So let the market decide. Don't have the bureaucrats in Jeff City and in Washington decide what our transportation is. Supply and demand is a powerful thing, maybe mass transit or maybe high speed rail will come and be a factor. People have to use it, and people have to get out of their cars first.
Okay, the next question comes from Hillary Niles and goes first to Dave Spence.
All three of you promised to strengthen or defend the Second Amendment. Please explain exactly what you mean by that.
Well, I'm a staunch defender of the Second Amendment. Our governor hasn't always been. I was in favor of concealed carry. He said it was going to be a wild, wild west. I don't think it's been that way. It's not a matter of the guns. It's the people pulling the trigger. You know, there's a lot of avid hunters, and there's a lot of good citizens in Missouri that are gun lovers, that are not criminals. And everybody wants to paint anybody with a gun as a criminal. The criminals are going to get guns no matter what. And economic despair is going to push them to commit crimes. So in my world, I will defend the Second Amendment because it's our God-given right, and it's in our Constitution from the very beginning.
Jim Higgins.
Yeah, I think I really don't think there should be a debate over this. The Second Amendment is there. It's an inalienable right to self-defense. You have a right to concealed carry. You have a right to defend yourself and your family. And gun ownership, the statistics are mixed on there. It depends on who you believe, but gun ownership. Oftentimes deter crimes. So a gun is a tool or an instrument, inanimate instrument, to be used by people, and it can be used for good or bad. And we need to protect our self-defense. We need to protect our right to self-defense.
Jay Nixon.
Here in Missouri, we have a long tradition of being outdoors. Of supporting gun rights and of using those guns in a very sportsmanlike way. Now, as governor, when it's come time to deal with these issues, we have worked to make sure that we expanded the rights of folks and kept the training that was out there and made sure that military folks had the opportunity and law enforcement folks and others. We've made the necessary changes in those laws to strengthen them, to allow more people to defend themselves. But ultimately, this ties to our conservation heritage in this state. And as most everybody here knows, I've been involved in hunting and fishing and outdoor activities my entire life and look forward to continuing that. September 1 of this year was a good way to start dove season in northeast Missouri. Last year, obviously, deer hunting, turkey hunting, all of the things we've done for many, many generations in this state are a big part of who we are as Missourians.
We have a strong conservation program. We have strong parks program. We have strong soil and water programs. And all those are built on, and those strong programs allow us to have excellent education for kids. I mean, we started beginning a governor's youth turkey hunt, and we've had those now the last 3 years. Because what we want to do is pass on that conservation ethic and also pass on the training. So the kids that qualify for that to do the essays and win the competition, they get a half a day of hunter training. Then we get some time to spend with them. Then we take folks out with them on their own property and allow them to hunt, many of them for the first time. So to expand this conservation ethic in our state is something very, very important and something that is a value we share and one I look forward to protecting.
Okay, the next question will come from Bill Miller and go first to Jim Higgins.
Do you believe the Corps of Engineers operating plan for the Missouri River takes into consideration what is best for our landowners along the river? Is there something lacking in the Corps plan as to Missouri?
That's a good question. I haven't really looked into that too much. There is always a conflict for something like rivers that's owned by the public. It's really hard to determine the best use of that. There's always conflicting interests and stuff. As far as what you're talking about with the Corps of Engineers, I'm sorry, I don't know that much about it.
Jay Nixon.
Missouri River is important to the state of Missouri for a lot of reasons. First of all, it provides a transportation arm for us to keep that competition between rail, truck, and barge so that we can get our products to market more cost effectively. Second, it's an important source of water. And third, that land right by that river, all the way across 367 miles across our great state, is some of the most vibrant agriculture and productive agriculture land we have in the state. We also have a number of cities that have cropped up next to it. Now, I've jousted with the Corps of Engineers many times and will continue to in Missouri's interests. I feel that the upstream states and the reservoirs upstream feel as if sometimes that the Missouri River should be named the North Dakota or the South Dakota River or Montana. And we have worked very, very hard to make sure we protect our rights and made sure that we're trying to move up the gauge marks on the upstream reservoir so that we get more flood control downstream, as well as get rid of what I think is not scientifically based spring rise, which can cause floods because of the natural hydrograph of that particular river. I've worked really hard on river issues, and none more important than last year when we saw the floods in northwest Missouri or the Corps of Engineers' wrongheaded decision to blow up the levee in southeast Missouri. Missourians are tied directly to that river and need a governor with a deep understanding of how we can fight for our rights.
Dave Spence.
I think it lacks total common sense. And everybody along the Missouri River will tell you that. You know what? Sometimes we get regulations in front of common sense, and it's high time we change it around, and that's what I bring to the party. You know, I understand we need to protect the sturgeon. I understand that. There's got to be a happy medium out there, but we shouldn't have these great pendulum swings where shut down commerce, don't dredge, shut down our grain traffic, shut down our barge traffic. There's got to be a happy medium. You've got to communicate with them, but in the last 2 years, I don't live along the Missouri River. However, everybody I've talked to that does is fit to be tied that our federal government and the Corps of Engineers has lost their mind. I would get in there, deal with them, and I will be a governor that stands up to the federal government and lack of common sense and the continuing rise of bureaucracy and regulations. I will fight tooth and nail to see what's best for what 5.9 million Missourians.
Okay, this will be our last question. It will come from Jeff Fox and go first to Governor Jay Nixon.
The state's foundation formula for our public schools is complex and remains underfunded. Should it be overhauled, and if so, how?
We've worked hard to work with the legislature, both in the changes they've made in the past as well as the methods that we fund K-12 education. And
We will continue to put dollars there. As I said before, last year at the beginning of the year, our focus was on making sure that we preserved the funding for K-12 so that we had a certainty of their dollars, unlike other states. And we were able to get that done, quite frankly, record spending on investment on K-12 education. As we move forward, working with folks to make sure that we get the necessary tweaks to the formula if they're necessary because of growth across the state and shifts in population and assessed valuation is something we'll work for. But it is a very complicated rubric. And I think that it is, it's very easy to talk about how things might be different, but the bottom line is that the legislature has in various times, this last method was pushed through by Senator Shields and others. It focuses on the right things, and we will look forward to working with them if there are necessary small changes to be made. But that basic formula, that making sure we get an equitable distribution of those dollars is something that's been part of Missouri law for many, many decades, and we'll continue to work to make it as efficient, effective, and as fair as possible.
Dave Spence.
It's a slippery slope. It really is. Because no matter where you go in the state, people feel like they don't get enough. The ones that are getting it want to hang on to it. I'm willing to look at it. You know, I'm a problem solver. I'm not a politician. We got a lot of problems in our state. If people feel like it's a problem, I'm willing to open up and look at it. And I'll surround myself with people that are unbiased and look at it and see if it's truly fair. But also, in our state, we have a funding problem. It's called lack of taxpayers. Money is not always the answer to every problem in education. Can they tweak their business model? Absolutely. I would encourage them to. That's just common sense. That's good business sense. But we really need to look at the number of taxpayers and the number of people that are on unemployment and that have given up. And that is hurting our overall education system because our tax base is dwindling. So the best thing we can do is courage, more jobs come to Missouri, Missouri businesses to expand, get more taxpayers. And then you know what? It's a nice problem because you have funding. But right now, we're trying to squeeze blood from a turnip in our state. A lot of farmers, they know what that means. And we just don't have enough taxpayers to truly fund our K-12 equitability so that everybody's happy.
Jim Higgins.
Yeah, there's always a battle with the school formula. We send our money to Jeff City, put it in a big pool, and then we spend a lot of time and effort. School administrators spend a lot of time and effort. The bureaucrats spend a lot of time and effort trying to figure out how to distribute it back to the schools. Well, why even send it to Jeff City in the first place? Let the school districts keep their own money and use it the way, the best way they see fit. And have charter schools and vouchers and let parents make choices for their children. Right now, parents don't get involved with the schools because they don't have any choices. The only choice they have is the flowers you can plant out in the front of the school or something. But, we need to, if there were vouchers and parents had more financial resources to spend on, that they could spend their own money on their children's education, they would make better choices than the bureaucrats would.
Jim Higgins has raised the issue of vouchers for education. We have enough time for a 45-second rebuttal. Governor Nixon, would you like to address vouchers for education?
I think with the limited resources we have, plus the basic understanding of Missourians that public schools are supported by the public, I just think it's a clear values issue that we should not take public dollars and send them to private schools. The only way that we're going to, and there have been efforts to try to do that, and both of my opponents have been in favor of doing that. I think it is not the right way to go for our state. I think that public education needs to be supported by the public. You need to have that connection with the communities. It's a long tradition of our state. It's an important part of what public education means, that direct tie. And taking public dollars and giving them to private schools, I think, is a significant, significant shift from what we have been as a state and wrong on policy.
Dave Spence, do you support the use of vouchers in education?
Not right now. No, I think it would be mass chaos, to tell you the truth. But I do think the only thing that's going to improve our education system and the education or the systems that are failing of those 50,000 kids in our state is competition. Those families and kids deserve better. Missourians should expect more. You know, sometimes those business models are broken, and we need to tear it up and start over. Our education system, we tend to dwell in the negative. I'd say 97% of the schools in the state are working really well. However, the most impactful people in our state are the ones in those unaccredited districts. And we're losing a whole generation by not putting every effort and whatever it takes. And if it includes school choice, that's what it's going to be, because we need to get those people graduating to a dream versus a life of poverty.
Jim Higgins, you have the option to say more about vouchers if you'd like.
I'll pass.
Okay. It is time now for our closing statements, and we will start first with Governor Jay Nixon. Again, the candidates have 2 minutes for a closing statement. Governor, go ahead.
It's been a high honor and privilege to serve the people of Missouri as your governor, and I look forward to the opportunity if the people honor me with the continuation of that ability. You know, it's been 4 years, but we've had a good week. You look at it yesterday, we finished the day down in Neosho, where we were able to announce that for the third straight year in a row, Missouri's workers' compensation rates are going down. They're going down because we're getting more competition in the market, and workers are better trained and more safe, sitting there with Crowder College and with those workers. Very proud of them. Earlier in the day, I was here in Kirksville announcing we had exceeded our goals in caring for Missourians, and more health care education was being delivered in the state because we're efficiently and effectively delivering what it takes to move the state forward. And just a couple of days before that, I had a chance to walk through that brand-new Ford plant in Kansas City, which is going to be the most efficient and effective auto plant anywhere in the world. I had a decision when I got elected governor, and the first day I was in, I made a decision to appoint an auto jobs task force and say that the auto industry of America was going to start right again right here in the Show Me State. And when thousands of people's jobs were on the line and the legislature didn't get it done on time, I called them back. And I brought Democrats and Republicans together and in a fiscally prudent way put together the necessary package to get that investment in our state. And because of that, Ford's investing $1.1 billion in our state, GM investing $380 million, thousands of jobs coming our way, the rebirth of the parts industry by staying focused on what we can do, by bringing people together. We're making real progress. That's why we've seen the jobs report show our unemployment rate below the national average. That's why we've seen this morning's number confirm we created the third most jobs of any state in the country, including 4,900 new manufacturing jobs in this state this month alone. We're headed in the right direction. We need to keep moving that way.
Dave Spence.
I'll give you one name in history. You probably won't know who it is. Edward Smith. He was the captain of the Titanic. He was down partying with the guests on the boat while we ran into an iceberg. I feel like we're running into an iceberg in this state. We've got 1 million Missourians on food stamps. We're 48th in economic development. We've got rampant pay-to-play in Jeff City. The governor's office is for sale, and it's not right. He is beholden to special interests. Look at the monetary trail. It's not right. It's not what our state deserves. And as I go around to 114 counties, they're looking for honesty. They're looking for integrity. And they're looking for somebody to believe in that truly will fight for them and fight for their jobs. Not fight for his job, fight for their jobs. It's time for the career politician to go home. It is time for true leaders to come in and straighten out what the politicians have made. The Post-Dispatch called our governor the invisible governor for a reason. This is about leadership. This isn't about polls. This isn't about the next election. There has never probably been a bigger contrast in the governor's race in our state. We've not had a business person run our state since 1937. I don't want the lobbyist money. My votes are not for sale, my vetoes are not for sale, and my opinions are not for sale. And Missourians, we need to raise the bar and dream big. I've been doing that all my life, and you know what? We've accomplished a lot of those dreams. I truly want to get Missourians back to work. We've lost our optimism in the state. We really have, all corners of it. We've lost optimism. We're not growing. 3 years in a row at 0% growth. That's not momentum. I bring fresh eyes, fresh energy, and fresh set of ideas. And I want Missouri to join me in getting Missouri back to work.
Jim Higgins.
Okay. $24 billion And that's what the budget will, for Missouri will be next year. Some of it is state income tax money. Some of it comes from the Fed. But it's $24 billion of other people's tax money sitting in Jeff City. We have a problem with a revolving door where legislatures, when their term is up, turn around and become lobbyists. Why do we have that problem? $24 billion of other people's tax money. These guys, the major parties, spend millions of dollars on their campaigns. Why is that? Why do people contribute millions of dollars to their campaign? Because whoever wins will have control of $24 billion of other people's tax money. The special interest groups spend a lot of energy and resources. You know, school administrators, a whole host of special interest groups, contractors, corporations, they all spend a lot of time and effort trying to influence legislatures to get back some of that $24 billion. It's a waste of time. It's a big game to everybody. It's a big game to everybody except the taxpayers who have to support it. The state has an obligation to provide basic services, but it doesn't need that much money to do it. You know, people and families are pretty savvy, and they can spend their own money on the things that they need, much better than a bureaucrat can spend it for them. So in Missouri, the governor has a lot of discretion to cut unnecessary things from the budget. And if I was governor, you can trust me to cut a lot of unnecessary things from the budget.
Okay, well, that concludes our Missouri gubernatorial debate today. A reminder that our U.S. Senate debate will start in 15 minutes. Let's give our candidates for governor a round of applause.